How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're starting Daf Beis, Daf 2 of Masechta Sota. Woo! Friends, it is exciting times, you know. Of course, it's a new Masechta, Masechta Sota. It's always exciting to start a new Masechta together here in Babylon Talmud. But, one second, I hope this doesn't create a problem. One sec. But it's also exciting because, you know, as I've been whining about for the past, I can't even remember how long, you know, I felt a little bit like a fish out of water for the past, for Nedarim and certainly with Nazir, because we haven't had Rashi, for the past 5 months. And, you know, I spoke recently with passion about, the esteem that a little speck of dust like myself has for the great, Rabbeinu Shlomo Yitzchaki, and how Rashi, you know, how Rashi in just a few words brings the highest level of clarities to a sugya of Gemara is just astounding. And, you know, I was complaining and whining and lamenting. I'm telling you, if I was in charge of Babylon Talmud, I would ask me to leave. No, I'm telling you this because we have a matzav over in some of the other things I do. You know, it gets complicated when there are people who are complaining to other people, and it doesn't create a very pleasant atmosphere. And I'm saying I must not have been very pleasant over the past 5 months. And I was kept on whining, you know, I don't have Rashi, leave me alone, I'm sorry, I'm a nudnik, I don't have Rashi. So I was a little bit nervous that I was working up Rashi for so long that, you know, it would get to Masechta Sota and it would fall short. But let me tell you, friends, that's not the case. I'm telling you, Mamish, when I read the first Rashi of Masechta Sota, might be my favorite Rashi in all of Shas. And not because it's the best Rashi, but because it comes after 5 months without Rashi. And just in those first words, maybe we should read it right now. Lishna Dekra Nakat. Oh my gosh. Even that, doesn't that just put a smile on your face? Lishna Dekra Nakat. What do you want me to tell you? Those three words even. It's not even a full statement, but it's like, you already like, Rashi just builds your trust. And he's like, I got you. I'm gonna just get you through this Gemara and you're going to get it. And it's going to be clear. And just read me and all will be good. That's what those three words say. To me, at least. I mean, anyways, so I'm just thrilled to be able to study a daf of Gemara with the sort of guidance of Rabbeinu Shlomo Yitzchaki. I'm thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. So it feels like I'm back. You know, I'll tell you, the last 5 months without Rashi was very hard. I feel like I wasn't myself. You know, but now I feel like I can get all excited again. So thanks for bearing with me for the past few months, and I hope you know, Masechta Sota is going to be gevaldig. But another interesting thing about having Rashi back, and I don't know how you guys are going to feel about this, but you know, because Rashi is so precise in his explanations, there tends to be a lot more content on the page because it can be explained so succinctly, which was not the case in Nedarim and in Nazir, where the pages were much shorter. I mean, it was not entirely uncommon to have episodes of Babylon Talmud that were less than 10 minutes even. You know, I feel like the average is probably somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes for a daf, you know. So maybe around 15 minutes for a daf. I think that's not going to be the case anymore. You know, I think that's behind us. It wasn't the case until Nedarim. And I think that that's behind us. So that I think that the dafs are going to be longer again. But I hope that, you know, this is going to be geschmack and everything like that. All right. Wow. 5 minutes and I haven't even said anything about Sota, but... But it just felt right to give a little bit of admiration to and give some space to acknowledge, you know, the godless of Rashi. Anyways, Sota. Who could tell me about Sota? So Sota be'etzem is a situation that happens when you have a husband and a wife. And the husband is suspicious that his wife is having an affair with another fellow. So there's a few things. So there's something called kinui, which is a warning. He warns his wife, like, hey, I don't want you to be with this other fellow. Then there's something called stira. Stira means that witnesses testify that she secluded herself in a room with this fellow. Now, we don't know what they did in that room. It could be that they did nothing in that room. It could be they were playing video games in that room. But we don't know. And in that case, when after the warning, she then secluded herself with this fellow in a private space. Now, we don't know what happened. If we know that they had bia, well, that's a different story. Then that's not a case of sota. We know that she had an affair. In which case, if they warned them, right? If they warned the wife and this other fellow that, hey, you know what you're doing is a capital offense, is capital punishment. So then they're chayiv misa. But if there's no warning like that, but again, we know that they had an affair. Well, then they can't remain married anymore, and she doesn't get her ksuba or anything like that. Now. But if we don't know what happened in that room, all we know is that they were secluded in that room. Well, that's the case of sota. What happens is she essentially ends up at the Beis Hamikdash drinking some kind of potion, and that potion basically is the one that is going to the potion will tell us what happened in that room. If she had an affair, so then she dies, and so does the fellow who she had an affair with. Just the potion kills both of them, even though he doesn't drink it, she does, but it kills both of them. And then if they didn't have an affair, so then, you know, there's all sorts of brachis that she blessings and stuff that she receives for being innocent. So that's in the case of sota. Now there's one other thing that that was kinui, the warning. Stira is the seclusion, and tuma means whether or not they actually had bia. What if you have one witness? Now, if I understand correctly, it would be that he warned her not to be with a certain fellow. And the Gemara is going to talk today about how many witnesses that has to be in front of. So if there was a warning, right, kinui, and then there was stira, that she secluded herself with another fellow. So that would make her a sota, and she would have to drink the potion. But if there's one witness, and the Gemara is going to discuss this today, but if there was one witness who says that that they had an affair, that there was bia, so then she would not be a sota. Right? Then she wouldn't drink, and they would get divorced. She would not get a ksuba, because there can't be a chi of misa with just one witness. But it would be enough to prevent her from drinking the mesota. Now another note is that prior to her drinking this potion, they cannot remain married, right? So if there was kinui and stira, and there's pending the potion drinking, so they cannot remain together during that interim period. Okay, well, we're at 9 minutes already, and we haven't even started the daf, so I do think that these dafs are going to be a little bit longer. Okay. Now, Beis Amud Aleph of Masechta Sota, all the way at the top, Makane Leishto, that if a fellow Be'etzim warns his friend, the Gemara is actually going to discuss what's the Lashon of Kinu, let's assume it means warning. So if a fellow, I don't know if I just said his friend, but his wife, if a husband warns his wife not to be with so-and-so, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mekani Lo Alpi Shnayim Umashko Alpi Eid Echon. So Rabbi Eliezer says that the kinui, the warning, has to be in front of two witnesses. So the husband has to warn his wife in front of two witnesses. But the seclusion, the stira, only needs to be in front of one witness, right? If one witness comes and says that she secluded herself with this fellow, it's enough to make her drink this potion. Or Alpi Atzmur, it could even be him himself. Right, if he warned her in front of two witnesses, and then he himself comes and says that he saw her seclude herself with this fellow, so then she drinks the potion. Rabbi Yoshua Omer says, Rabbi Yoshua Mekani Lo Alpi Shnayim Umashka Alpi Shnayim. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua says, no, both the kinoi and the stira has to be involving two witnesses. So he warns her in front of two witnesses, and also we need two witnesses to say that she then subsequently secluded herself with this fellow. Ketzad Mekanila. So what does the warning look like? Omer la b'fnei shnayim. He says to her, right, the husband says to the wife in front of two witnesses, al tadabri im ish ploni, do not speak with so-and-so. V'dibra imo, and she spoke to him. Adayini muteris leveso muteris lecho b'chumah. So that just speaking to the fellow is not going to sort of have any consequences. At least doesn't seem that way from this. She could still, they could still remain together, right? Meaning the husband and wife can still remain together, even though she spoke to the so-and-so. And if she's a Bas Yisrael and he's a Kohen, she can continue eating truma. Nichnasa imo leves ha-seser, oh, but if she goes into a secluded area, v'shoasa imo kedei tuma, and she waited in that area, in the secluded space, right? The wife and the so-and-so were in the secluded space for enough time that they could have had bia, or at least some form of it, asura levesa. So then at that point she cannot remain with her husband anymore. Vasura lecho b'chumah, if she's a Bas Yisrael and her husband is a Kohen, she can no longer eat trume. V'imeis choletzes v'lo misyabemes, and if the husband dies and they don't have any children, so of course normally there would be yibum, but she doesn't do yibum. In this case, she would do chalitza, as of course we know about from Masechta Yevamos. Okay, that was the first Mishnah of Masechta Sota. I will take a Babel Yon break. Okay, I am back. Now, it says the Gemara Michde. Let's see. Tani Minozi Solik. What was the previous, the Friediger Masechta? What was the previous Masechta? Of course, new. One Masechta we were learning yesterday. Masechta Nozi. My Tana, Dikatana Sota. How come we go from Nazir to Sota? How come the next Masechta after Nazir is Masechta Sota? Kedir Rebbe, it's like Rebbe Ditanya, as we learned in the Brisa, I think already twice before. Rebbe Omer Lo Manismucha Parshas Nazir LeFarsha Sota. How come the Parsha of Nazir is juxtaposed in the Torah after Parshas Sota? Lo malach, to say to you, shekolaro sota bekilkula yazir atzma minayayin, that anybody who sees a sota in her sota state of, you know, looking what happens, and it's because she drank wine, she was, you know, she's a married woman and she drank wine and was hanging out with other men and having affairs and stuff, and it all goes back to wine, so yazir atzma minayayin, so he'll say, that's it, this is what wine does, I'm going to be a nazir and I'm not going to drink any wine. Fine. Okay, so that is why the parsha of Nazir comes after the parsha of Sota. Now, v'lisni Sota v'adu lesni Nazir. So then, wouldn't it make sense that Masechta Sota should come before Masechta Nazir? So Gemara says, listen, I did the Tanik Subis v'Tana Madir Tana Nedor. Well, since if you remember way back when, one second, I gotta rub my nose. Okay. Anyways, if you remember way back when to Masechta Ksubis, that was before Nazir, before Nedarim, we were in Ksubis. And in Ksubis, there was a perek there called Perek Hamadir, somebody who makes Nedarim. So once already you're talking about Hamadir, so what's the sort of the natural next Masechta? Nedarim. Tana Nedarim. V'aydi the Tana Nedarim. And then once already we're talking about Nedarim, Tana Nazir. The Dami L'Nedarim. So then, after Nedarim, it made sense to learn Masechta Nazir, because Nazir after Nazirus, after all, is a type of Neder. It's a Neder Nazirus. So from Perek Hamadir and Ksubis, it made sense to then go to Nedarim, which then made logical sense to go to Nazir. So then, Bikatani Sota Kidirebi, and then once already, you kind of got those, and then already, you know, Rebbe had drawn a connection between Sota and Nazir. So once already we're doing Nazir, let's already chaparain and bring in Sota so that we can keep that juxtaposition together, even if it's technically out of order, but the relationship remains. Okay. Hamakane di Evid in Chatchilalo, says the Gemara, that if you look at our Mishnah, the first word of the Mishnah, Hamakane. So it doesn't say Mikane liishto, that a fellow should warn his wife. It says somebody who did warn his wife. So interestingly, says the Gemara, di evid in l'chatchila lo. So according to this opinion, actually, you know, a husband warning his wife is actually b'di evid. He really shouldn't do it. Kasavratana didon osur likanos. Our Tana holds that actually you're not allowed to be Mekane. If you did it, so Beseder, so we have this whole Masechta. But you really shouldn't be doing it in the first place, as we're going to learn. I think we'll probably get there at the end of today's daf. Depends where we stop. But I suspect we'll get, I don't know, we'll have to see. Maybe we'll stop before this, maybe we'll get there at the end. We'll have to see, because tomorrow I think we're going to stop early, so maybe we'll stop here early today as well. So, interestingly, says the Gemara that, this whole sota thing, right, the husband warning his wife, which of course he has to do in order for her to be able to drink mesota, so it all really comes down, you know, starts with, as we're going to see a little bit later on the daf, with this warning. So it's all b'di'evit. He really shouldn't be doing it in the first place. He really shouldn't be warning her in the first place. Amr b'shmuel bar Nachmani, Amr v'yitzok, no, Amr b'shmuel bar Rav, Amr v'y, okay, let's try it again. Amr b'shmuel bar v'yitzok, says b'shmuel bar v'yitzok, ki av posach Rish Lakish b'sota, or when Rish Lakish would start darshining sota, with regards to sota, Amr hachi would say the following, ein mezavgin loy la'odom isha el lefi maisav, that the Eibishter is mesharech to a fellow, a wife, based on his character. Shenemar, the puzzle says, ki lo yanuach shevet haresh al geira la tzadikim, that you won't have rishayim with tzadikim. Ki, you know, fellow's a tzadik, so he marries a tzadikis. A rasha, a nudnik, he marries a nudnikis. A nudnik and a nudnekis. Amar Rabba Babachan, Amar Biyochlin, v'koshin v'zavgin ki kriyas yam suf. We've seen this before. How many times have we seen this before? Once, twice? Let's see. Maybe twice already? Once? Oh, maybe we haven't seen it at all. Oh, apparently Moed Kain. Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay. Fine. So, says Rabbi Bechana Rabbi Yochan, the Koshin the Zav, because you're a Samsuf. It's pretty famous, right? That making a Shidduch is as difficult for the Eibishter as it was to split the sea. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, the Loki Moshivim, Moshiv Yechidim Beisa, that the Eibishter makes Shidduchim, Motzi Asir Bekosharos, and he juxtaposes that with Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Kriyas Yamsuf Mele. So for the Eibishter to make a Shidduch is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. Ini, is this so? V'omer of Yehuda Amarav, Rav Yehuda says, name Rabbi, I buy him Yom called Mitzias Avolod, that 40 days before the Volod, the fetus is created, Basko Yotzes, a heavenly voice goes out to Omeris and says, Bas Ploni Lefloni, that the daughter of so-and-so is going to be married to so-and-so. Base Ploni Lefloni, such and such a house is going to be to so-and-so. Saw the Ploni Lefloni, such and such a field is going to be to so-and-so. No. So on the one hand, we're saying that it's really, really hard to make Shidduchim. On the other hand, we're saying that actually, Shidduchim are preordained 40 days already before the little bugger is... That's not nice. Before the fetus is created, lokasha obezivik rishon obezivik sheni. It depends. For a fellow to get married for the first time, so that's already preordained. But to have to make a second shidduch for whatever reason, so that's already much more complicated. It's like kriyas yamsuf. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer omer mekani lo al pishnayim v'chulei. Okay. So we saw this machloikis in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua about how many witnesses you need, right? Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua had agreed that you need two witnesses for the kinui, for the warning. Now Rabbi Eliezer said you only needed one witness for this. You only need one witness for the stira. Rabbi Yehoshua says you need two witnesses for the stira as well. So now says the Gemara, Ad kan lo plige ela bikinu v'stira, ava betuma ed echod mehemen. Oh. So as I mentioned in the, as I was babbling before we began the daf, so we said there's kinui, stira, and tuma. Kinui is when the husband warns the wife, stira is when she's in a secluded room, but we don't know what they did in there. Tuma is actual bia. So while there's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua with regard, I'm being distracted by something. I don't know what it is. Oh, maybe my hair? So we saw opinions about right. Both Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua agree that you need two witnesses for the kinoi. There's machlokes about by the stira. Do you need two? Do you need one? However, avo betuma eid echad mehemin. But everyone agrees, and I'm going to go with this understanding because I think that it's correct. I'm going to go with this understanding, which is that once you have the kinui and the stira, and now she has to drink the mesota, but she hasn't drank it yet. So then, if one witness comes and says testifies that she had bia with this fellow, well, then she doesn't drink the mesota anymore. And everyone agrees that that is one witness, not two witnesses. To testify that they actually had bia, so then it's just one witness is believed. But nami mitaka oichid have a mishnah erechad omer that if one witness says ani reisi shenitmes, I saw that she became right that they had bia lo isa shosa, then she would not drink the mechatas anymore. Now, interestingly, we're about to see the word aid a lot, and we're about to see the word odd a lot. So as I read, I have to keep on saying to myself, is this odd or is this aid? Okay. Midaraisa min olam, de mehemen aid echod. So how do we know that, where do we see in the Torah that an aid echod, that one witness would be enough to testify about this woman having bia? Oh, friends, you ready? This is a sugya. I think it's a sugya from Sanhedrin. It's a sugya, lemaisa. It's a sugya. We're doing some real gemaras. We're back. It feels like after five months, we're back into the shakli vitaria. Oh, so how do we know that take one witness is enough for the tumah? Okay, I think I'm just going to refer to Kinui, Stira, and Tuma. Okay, you all with me on what those things are? I think we've defined them. Okay. So, Menon Demheimen Eid Echod, the Tonu Rabbonu. Oh, that we learned in a Braise. Ve'eid Ein Ba, so Geschmack. Okay. Ve'eid Ein Ba, B'Shnaim Akosuv. Oh, so Geschmack. Ve'eid Ein Ba, B'Shnaim Akosuv Medaber. Oh. Ooh, wah. So Geschmack. So it says, what does it say in the pasuk? It says, "V'shachav ishosu shich vazer v'nele me'ene isha v'nistra v'nitma'a v'ed ein ba'vilon espasu." It says v'nitma'a, that she had beer, that she, right, nitma'a. V'ed ein ba, there was no witness, v'ilon espasu, and it was consensual, so therefore she's asur. Okay? So it says, v'ed ein ba b'shnai makosum v'daber. That when the pasuk says ve'ed ein ba, it's talking about there were not two witnesses. That when it says aid memele, it's not talking about one witness, it's talking about testimony. And testimony is with two witnesses. So when the Torah says aid, it means two witnesses. So ve'ed ein ba, b'shnai makosum medaber. That when it says ve'ed ein ba, it means there were two witnesses, ein ba, there were not. There were not two witnesses, there was only one. Oh, enu ela afilu be'echod. Wait, but maybe aid ein ba doesn't mean that there weren't two witnesses. It means that maybe aid does mean a single witness. And it's saying, ve'eid ein ba, there was no single witness. There were no witnesses at all. Tamalomer lo yakum aid echod ba'ish. So the part, we have another pasuk that says, that by Mominus, it says, lo yakum aid echod ba'ish. That you can't have an aid echod, one witness. Why do I need the word loyakum aid echad ba'ish? Why do I need that? Why not just say loyakum aid ba'ish? I can have a witness to testify about a fellow, i.e., witness is singular. So if we would just say loyakum aid ba'ish, I would know mimela that means that you can't have one witness testify. So Mimash Mishnember Loyakum Aid Beish, Enyo Deshu Echo, don't I already know that he's one? So Matam Loma Echo, so why does the Pasuk have to say one? Zebona of, because what it's teaching us is that Komakum Shenemar Aid Harekan Shnai. Ho ho. That by default, what the Torah is teaching us by saying Aid Echod, is that it's saying, well, actually, by default, Aid is not referring to the witness, it's referring to the testimony, and testimony needs to be two. Ad sheyifra lecha kasuv echad, until the pasuk specifically says, like it says here, echad. That if the pasuk says aid echad, it means one witness. But if it doesn't say echad, if it just says aid, then it means two witnesses. V'amrachmona trei lezba, and now coming back to our gemara by Sota, when it says ve'ed ein ba v'hilo nispaso, it means ve'ed ein ba, there were no two witnesses, rather elachad, there was one witness v'hilo nispaso asura, and it's saying right ve'ed ein ba v'hilo nispaso, it was consensual, and therefore what the Torah is saying is that it's asura. So therefore, by Soto, when it says ve'ed ein ba v'ilo nispasa, it means that there were no two witnesses, rather there was one witness, and it was consensual, and therefore she is asura. So now, frekta gemara, one second. You just built up this whole mahalich based on the fact that we have the pasuk of lo yakum eid echad ba'ish, that because it says eid echad, so that means that whenever it doesn't say echad, it means two, and therefore, our pasuk of ve'ed ein ba means that there weren't two, there was only one. But one second, at the time d'chziv lo yakum eid echad ba'ish. One second, you built up this whole argument, this whole logical thing, this whole mahalich, based on the fact, right? Based on the cornerstone of it was lo yakum eid echad ba'ish. Halavachi havamina eid desota. Chad who? So does that mean that if not for the fact that we have the pasuk of lo yakum eid echad ba'ish, from which we learn that when it says eid, it means two. If I wouldn't have lo yakum eid echad ba'ish, are you telling me that I would look at the pasuk by Sota and say the eid ein ba, I would have thought to say that there wasn't one witness, v'hilo nispasa, and she's asura? Would you really think, forget about lo yakum eid echad ba'ish. Forget about that pasuk. Let's just look for a second at the pasuk of ve'ed ein ba. I think there's a sunflower person outside riding a motorcycle again. I feel like it happens on Fridays. Anyways, are you telling me that if we didn't have lo yakum eid echad ba'ish, I would look at the pasuk and really think that when it says ve'ed ein ba v'hilo nispasa, it means that there were no witnesses and she's asura? That there wasn't even one witness and she's asura? If there were no witnesses at all, so then how could she be asura? So the Gemara says, why are you making this whole argument based on the fact that we have a pasuk that says, lo yakum eid echad ba'ish, from which we learn out that whenever it says eid, it means two, and therefore reading that into our pasuk of the eid ein ba v'ilo nispasa, it means that there weren't two witnesses, there was only one, and that's why she's asura. And what? If I didn't have the eid ein ba, if I didn't have lo yakum eid echad ba'ish, would I really look at the pasuk of the eid ein ba and say that there were no witnesses at all and she's asura? How could that be possible? Of course there would have to be at least one witness. Itzrich, no, we still need, right? So therefore the Gemara wants to try to argue that I actually don't need lo yakum eid echad ba'ish, because it's just obvious that you have to have one witness when it comes to Sota, because the alternative seemingly is that there were no witnesses, and that's just crazy. If there were no witnesses, now how could she be asura? So the Gemara says, no, itzrich, we still do need the pasuk of lo yakum eid echad ba'ish, because sakadate chamina, I may have thought to look at the pasuk like this, meaning if I didn't have lo yakum eid echad ba'ish, I would look at the pasuk by Sota, which says ve'ed ein ba. And I may have thought to say the following. Not that there were no witnesses, but I may have thought to say, eid ein ba, ein neman ba. That, eid ein ba, ein neman ba. That what it means when it says eid ein ba, it means that, wait, what? Okay, eid ein ba, ein neman ba, that one witness is not believed. I may have thought to say that you need two witnesses, meaning up until now we're arguing that without lo yakum eid echad ba'ish, from which we learn that eid means two, and we're saying eid ein ba, there weren't two witnesses, there were only one witness. Then we said, well, that's what, it's not like I would have thought to say otherwise, that eid ein ba, that there wasn't one witness, i.e. there were no witnesses. That's just crazy. But says the Gemara, no, we wouldn't have thought to say that the eid ein ba means that there were no witnesses at all. I may have thought to say eid ein ba mean means that one witness is not enough. Aid, ain, ba. If there's only one witness, ain, ba. That, right, that's not enough. You need to have two witnesses. Aid, ain, ba, ain, naman, ba. That one witness is not believed, you have to have two witnesses. Ain, naman, ba. To which Shigmar says, what? Ve'ela mai boy. Ad ika tre. So what are you saying? You have to have two witnesses? Lishto kramine. But then I don't need a pasuk to tell me that I need two witnesses. The asya dover dover mi mamon. Because we have a gzeir shava that it says dover by kimotu ba ervas dover, right? When it comes to problematic relationships with, happening in a the context of a marriage, so it says kimotu ba ervas dover, and it also says apishnayim edim apishlosha edim yakum dover, which is where it also says So it says dover also by the requirement to have two witnesses. So and I know that you always need two witnesses. So therefore the Mishnah, so not the Mishnah, the Gemara. So meaning again, the Gemara's question is, why do I really need the pasuk of lo yakum eid echor beish? I could really get to the same conclusion without it, because obviously when it says ve'eid ein ba, obviously it doesn't mean that there were no witnesses at all and she's a surah, because that's just crazy. So obviously I know that it means one witness. So the Gemara says not necessarily, because I could have said that no, ve'eid ein ba means that there eid ein ba, that if there's only one witness, it's not good enough. You need to have two witnesses, and therefore I need lo yakum eid echod ba'ish to teach me that no, aid means two, and therefore aid ainba means that there weren't two witnesses, there were only one. Because otherwise I would have thought to say you have to have two witnesses. To which Shigmar says, why would I have thought to say you would have to, if it's to say that you have to have two witnesses, well then we don't need this pasuk at all, because you always need two witnesses. I wouldn't need the pasuk to say for aid ainba that one witness is not enough, you need two. Obviously you need two. You always need two. So it's derech sagadayte chamina. No, I could make the argument that yes, in general you do need two, but maybe I could have thought that by soto all you need is one, because sagadayte chamina shiny, sota shiny. I may have thought to say that sota is different, diraglayim ladover, that because there's already suspicion. Interesting that at the end of Masechta Nozi we were talking about raglayim ladover, and here on the first half of sota we're talking about raglayim ladover. Sharekine lo vinistira leseman ba'irechod. Because I may have thought to say that when it comes to sota, maybe I could accept one witness, because after all, there was already kinoi and stira, and now you have one witness that says that there was also tuma, so maybe I could think that one would be enough. Therefore, you need the pasuk to say ve'eid ein ba. It means that there wasn't one witness. One witness is not enough. You need two witnesses, even though there's already kinui and stira. And therefore, tying it into the context of a Gemara, what we're saying is that we need the pasuk of lo yakum eid echod ba'ish to teach me that whenever it said eid, it means two, which means that in our pasuk of eid ein ba, it means that there weren't two witnesses, there were only one. Because if I wouldn't have the pasuk of lo yakum eid echod ba'ish, I may have thought, like we just said now, that what it means is ve'eid ein ba means that one witness is not enough, you need two witnesses. Umimatsis omart de ein nemon ba visharya. So is it really true then to say that you need two witnesses, and ve'eid ein ba means that one witness is not trusted, is discredited, and then she's permitted? But from the fact that it says ve'eid ein ba vihilo nispasa, and she's asura, then what do you mean that one witness is not believed and she's asura? So itzrich sagadate chamina. Well, I could have said ein neman ba ad diika trei uvetrei nami hi delo nispasa. No, so you could explain that what it means is that ve'eid ein ba, that one witness is not believed. You need to have two witnesses, and then vihi lo nispasa. And still, even when you have two witnesses, It's only if it was hilo nispasa. It was only if it was consensual. But if it was you know, forced, if it was against her will, then it would not be held against her. So kamashmala. So that is why we need the pasuk of lo yakum eid echad b'ish, because if we don't have the pasuk of lo yakum eid echad b'ish, I could have theoretically looked at the pasuk of ve'eid ein ba and made the argument that it means that one witness is not believed. You have to have two witnesses, and then those two witnesses would have to testify that it was consensual. So therefore, we need to rely upon the pasuk of lo yakum eid echad b'ish to say that whenever if it was talking about one witness, it would say eid echad, and therefore over here when it says ve'eid ein ba, it doesn't say echad. It means that there weren't two witnesses. There's only one witness, and therefore, because of the precedent established by lo yakum eid echad b'ish, we can then read into our pasuk of ve'eid ein ba to say that there weren't two witnesses, there was only one witness, and v'yilo nispasa, and she's asura. So we see that one witness is enough when it comes to testifying about the tumah. Okay, fine. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Mekanela Pishnayim Vechule. So Rabbi Yoshua had said that not only by the kinoi are two witnesses required, but also by the stira two witnesses are required. My time with Rabbi Yoshua. How come Rabbi Yoshua says that you have to have two witnesses for the stira as well? So I'm required because the pasuk says ba. It says ve'eid ein ba, that one witness is believed for ba, for the tumah. Ba v'lo b'kinoi v'lo b'stira, that one witness is believed is enough for the tumah, but it's limited to the tumah. For the kinoi, for the stira, you need to have two witnesses like every other testimony. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, whereas Rabbi Eliezer says ba, that when it says ve'eid ein ba, that one witness is enough for it, for tumah. Okay, it means one witness is enough for tumah to the exclusion of one other thing that one witness is not enough, that you need two. And says Rabbi Eliezer, the one other thing that, right, meaning says, ba, to the exclusion of one other thing, the other thing that does not require one witness is the kinoi. The kinoi needs two witnesses. However, the stira can also have one witness just like the tumah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ba, v'lo b'kinoi. But by the kinoi, you need two witnesses. V'ema ba, v'lo b'stira. Maybe I'll say that one witness is enough for tumah, but the stira needs two witnesses, and then the kinoi could be with one. So stira iskish l'tuma d'chsiv v'nistar v'nitma. To which the Gemara says, well, yes, but stira is compared to the tuma, as it says, v'nistara v'nitma. So stira is compared to tuma, and therefore, is juxtaposed to tuma, and therefore, just like the tuma is one witness is enough, so also the stira, one witness is enough. Kinoi nami iskash l'tuma d'chsiv v'kinias ishto v'nitma. But I can also find a pasuk where kinoi is in the same breath as tumah. As it says, v'kinias ishto v'nitma. So we see that, so let's compare kinoi to tumah and say that just like tumah is with one witness, so kinoi is with one witness. So ha, mi et rachmana ba. So we say, yeah, but the Torah says ba to exclude the kinoi, that the kinoi needs to be with two witnesses, umare isa. But still, again, back to our question. How come ba is to say that tumah is with one witness, but kinoi is with two witnesses? Maybe I'll say tumah is with one witness, but stira is with two witnesses. So mistavra, stira, adifa. So the Gemara says, well, let's make the argument. You know, I can argue that it makes more sense to say that stira is what we're comparing to tumah, to say that it requires one witness. Shekein osarto kitumah. Because it's the stira that makes her asura just like tumah. Right, that once she's secluded with this other fellow, she can no longer be together with her husband anymore. Just like if one witness were to come and say that she had bia with this other fellow, she would not be able to remain with her husband. Adraba, kinoi adif. I'll make the argument that actually the kinoi is the stronger compared to tumah. The kinoi should be compared to tumah. Shekin ikr garamla, because that's like the main thing. E lav stira kinoi mi ika, to which the Gemara says, yeah, but if their ultimate kira might be the the kinoi might be the initial sort of starting point, but if there's no stira, if she doesn't actually seclude herself, so then the kinoi doesn't really amount to much. Be lav kinoi stira mayani, but at the same time I can make the fakert, I can argue punkt fakert that that even if there was stira, if there was no kinoi, so then it's irrelevant also. So afilu achi stira adifa, still we say that stira is the better sort of connection to tumah, because the aschalta de tumah hi, because the stira, the seclusion, is the beginning of the tumah. right? That you go into a secluded area, and then you have tuma, then you have bia. So therefore, that is why it makes sense to connect stira with tuma, and both stira and tuma, according to Rabbi Eliezer, are with one witness, but kinui would be with two witnesses. Now says the Gemara, masnisin do ki aitane detanye, that our Mishnah is not like the following brayse. That we learn in a brayse, Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda Omer Mishum Reb Eliezer, that Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda says from Reb Eliezer, Hamikane leishto mikane alpi aid echod o alpi atzmo umashul alpi shnayim ho ho. That Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda says from Reb Eliezer that fakert, right? In our Mishnah, Reb Eliezer had said that the kinoy has to be with two, but the steer could be with one. In this brisa, though, Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda is quoting Reb Eliezer as saying fakert, that the kinoy could just be with one witness, or even just himself, but the stira needs to be with two witnesses. Heishivu chacham diver Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda ein l'davar sof. But the rabbis responded that according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the kinoi could just be with one, that's a slippery slope. My time with Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yosef, and we're going to explain the slippery slope in a minute. Why does Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda say that the kinoi could be with one witness? On my crow, because the pasuk says ba, because the pasuk says that the tuma ba, it can be with one witness. Ba velo b'stira, it's the exclusion of the stira. The stira has to be with two witnesses, right? The tuma can be with one witness, but the stira has to be with two witnesses. Ve'ema ba velo b'kinui. Let's say that when it says that tuma could be with one, to the exclusion of kinui, that kinui needs to be with two. Kinui iskash l'tuma. Yeah, but kinoi is juxtaposed with tuma. D'chsev kinoi ishto v'inetma. As the pasuk says, right? Kinoi ishto. That is kinoi and tuma. So we compare them. So therefore, those are both with one. Stira nami iskash l'tuma. D'chsev v'inistro v'inetma. As we said earlier, but also by the stira it says v'inistro v'inetma. So stira is juxtaposed to tuma. So that's it. The stira is with one witness. Aud l'chamashir stira k'dei tuma huda also. So to which we say, no, the juxtaposition of stira to tuma, that is not to teach that stira is with one witness like tuma. Rather, it's to teach that how long do they have to be secluded in a room in order for it to be create a sort of sota situation. So enough time to have bia. So that's what we want to say, and therefore it's kinoi that's compared to tuma, to say that by kinoi you only need one witness, but by stira you would need two. So eshivu chacham l'divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda ein l'davar sof. My nihu. So the Gemara asks that the rabbis had responded to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and say according to what, and they said that according to what you're suggesting, that the kinoi only needs one witness. Well, then that's a slippery slope. What's so slippery? The zimnin delo kani ve'omar kanoi. Well, because what happens if he never actually warned her and he's in an argument with her and he gets upset and he gets angry and he says, that's it. You know, I had warned you not to be with so-and-so, even though he never did. And then he goes and he finds witnesses that she was secluded with him, which, you know, she wasn't ever told not to be. But now all of a sudden he's making up out of nowhere, out of thin air, that he had warned her not to be with this fellow. And now all of a sudden there are witnesses that she was secluded with this fellow because I guess maybe she was, because she was never told not to be. And now all of a sudden you have a sota situation, even though it's really not true. That's why it's a slippery slope. But what, does that imply that our Mishnah is any better? Our Mishnah is also a slippery slope. Zimnin, v'lo estater. In our Mishnah it's just fakert, but it's the same thing. That, you know, he might warn her in front of two witnesses, but then maybe he'll get upset at her and just on his own, he'll say, you know what, I saw you, right? Because it says that one witness is enough, or even he himself. And he can just say, you know, I saw you secluded yourself with that fellow who I warned you in front of witnesses not to be with. That's also a pretty slippery slope. Amr Vitzlik by Yosef, Amr Reb Yochanan, after Divrei Reb Yosef, Reb Yehuda, Ein L'Davar Sof. So it says Reb Yitzchak by Yosef, name Reb Yochanan, that even Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda's version is a slippery slope. So, af l'divrei Reb Yosef, Reb Yudav, Lomi Bari, the Mishnah Seinu. So that implies that even according to Reb Yosef, Reb Yudav, it's a slippery slope, and certainly our Mishnah is a slippery slope. Certainly our Mishnah, where he could, right, where you only need one witness or even himself for the stira, where he could just say, you know what, you were secluded, and that's enough. That's definitely a slippery slope. But even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah's version, where according to Rabbi Eliezer, the kinua could be with one witness, that's a slippery slope. Adrab, it should be faker, it should be the opposite. The Mishnah Seinu, in our Mishnah, at least the warning, the initial thing was with two witnesses. Hasam leke ikr. Over there, the kinua was not, right, the initialization was not with witnesses. So therefore, I think the bigger chiddush is that to say that even our Mishnah is a slippery slope. Ella yitmar hachi yitmar. Rather, it's like this. Omer Yitzchak bar Yosef, Omer Yochanan, the divrei Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda, af Mishnah Seinu, ein ledavar sof. Okay, that, you know, that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda is definitely a slippery slope, because according to his version, the kinoi was not with two witnesses. But even our Mishnah, where the kinoi was with two witnesses, it's still a slippery slope, because he could then, if he gets upset, he could just make up out of thin air that she was secluded with somebody, and then all of a sudden she's a sota. Omer b'chanino misura, says b'chanino misura, lo leme inish le'itzeb izmanazeh, lo tistri b'hadei ploni, that a husband should not say to his wife nowadays, don't be with so-and-so, don't seclude yourself in so-and-so, because Dilma Kaimel and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah, because maybe we hold like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah's explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, which is that the kinoi only needs to be in front of one witness, or even just in front of himself. Dilma kinoi al piatzmo, that, you know, he can just do the kinoi by himself, mistatra, and then if she secludes herself with this fellow, Veleko idna mesota l'mivdika, and there's, nowadays we don't have mesota, v'kosu lo ilovi yisura til olam, and now there'll be forbidden to be with each other forever, because she was warned and then secluded, and there's no mesota, and they're basically stuck. Fen, should we, maybe let's go shtickle weiter. Let's go shtickle weiter, because I talked before about, right, the Gemara started out teaching about how, sota being mekane, a husband warning his wife, is really b'dieved. He's really not supposed to do it. So here's that discussion. Omer Rish Lakish, says Rish Lakish, ma loshin kinui. What does kinui mean? So I had explained it as meaning a warning, but that's actually a machlokas, as we're about to see. Dover matel kino beina levein achirim. So, and that's why you can imagine that it's b'dieved, right? That you shouldn't be doing it. That kinui, explains Rish Lakish, is something that creates jealousy or rift between his wife and everybody else. Al maksover kinoi al pi atzmo, which implies that Rish Lakish's take is that he could do the kinoi just by himself. He doesn't need witnesses. Mukhli amalu yade, which therefore means that nobody else other than him and her know that this kinoi happened. The kanila, and they don't know that he did this kinoi. The amre, and they say, my dekamo dekabodla. And then everyone's wondering, like, what's the deal with this wife? Why is she no longer, like, being around anybody else? And it's gonna create a rift between everybody and her, because they don't realize that there was a kinoi, because only the husband was there for the kinoi. And therefore, it's gonna create a rift and jealousy and bad vibes between her and everybody else. Rav Yemar bar Rav Shlamya Mishmei da Abaye Omer, whereas Rav Yemar bar Shlamya says the name of Abaye, Dovra matil kino beino levena, that it's fakert. It's something that creates a jealousy between, I think kino is jealousy, no? Let me look it up, 1 second. Anger, apparently. Okay, so something that creates anger between the husband and the wife. Amok sover kino alpi shnaim edim, which means that Rabbi Yehuda bar Shlamya, in the name of Abaye, or from Abaye, in the name of Abaye, holds that the kinoi needs to be in front of two witnesses, and therefore v'chuli alma yade, because it's in front of two witnesses, so everybody knows that there was this kinoi, the kani law that he did this kinoi, ve'ihu hu da'asin le'mebud kino bahada, and then because everybody knows about this, it's going to create friction and anger between him and her, and that's lashon of kinoi. So we see that according to Rish Lakish and according to Abaye, kino is the lashon of kino, of anger, and therefore alma kasabri do osur lekanos. And therefore, if it's about anger, osur lekanos, you wouldn't be allowed to it's something that you're not allowed to do. Bidieved, if he did do the kinoi, so then there's this whole mesechta, but he really shouldn't do it in the first place. And according to the opinion that it's permitted to do this kinui, ma'u loshin kinui, what does kinui mean? Mean, omer of Nachman Yitzchak ein kinui elo loshin asro. It means a warning. V'cheinu omer v'yikane Hashem la'atzah, that the Eibishter warned his land. So that's just a warning, in which case it's permitted. You know, he warns his wife, like, you know, don't be with so-and-so. Okay, there's a sunflower situation going outside. Friends, that was the base of Masechta Sota. Woo! Oh my gosh, friends. We are back. This is a big daf. We are really lumped this over here. You know, we really had to use our brains a little bit. We started, of course, Masechta Sota, and we saw the machlokas between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Both Rabbi Yehoshua, at least in our Mishnah, both Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer agree that the kinui has to be with two witnesses. Rabbi Eliezer says that the stira could be in front of one witness. Rabbi Yehoshua says that also has to be with two witnesses. We learned that one witness is enough for tum'ah, to prevent her from drinking the mesota, and then that she would not be able to remain married to her husband. We learned the concept of whenever it says in the pasuk aid, it means two witnesses. Unless it specifically says aid echad, then it would mean one witness, but by default aid means two witnesses. We saw a differing brisa with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda explaining Rabbi Eliezer that actually the one witness is for the kinui and the two witnesses are for the stira. And then at the end we saw two explanations of what kinui means, right? One opinion is that kinui means creating anger, whereas the other opinion is that kinui means a warning. Friends, that was that base of Masechta Sota. I hope you enjoyed. Peace out.